Tonight, we play Gilbert and Sullivan. We shall give you some of England's most proud, most brave, and sometimes most bravura heroes and heroines of comic opera. Tonight, we play Gilbert and Sullivan's romance of maids and jesters, headsmen and stolen keys, the yeoman of the guard, or the merry man and his maid. And the cast, everyone a Savoyard of distinction, Jack Point, the strolling jester, out of a job, Mr. Florence Ames. Elsie, his dancing companion, Miss Muriel Wilson. Colonel Fairfax, the handsome sorcerer, Fred Huffsmith. Sergeant Merrill of the Yeoman of the Guard, Mr. Paul Reed. Phoebe, his sentimental and slightly brainless daughter, Miss Celia Brandt. The Lieutenant of London Tower, Mr. Hugh Thompson. And Dame Carruthers, buxom housekeeper, Miss Veronica Wiggins. But now, it's curtain time. Maestro Stopak enters the orchestra pit, raps for attention, and is about to conduct the overture to Gilbert and Sullivan's Yeoman of the Guard.
But a little word, hi-ho, so soft it's scarcely heard, hi-ho, an idle breath, yet life and death may hang upon a maid, hi-ho, an idle breath, yet life and death may hang upon a maid, hi-ho. She mopes the pot as owl mopes on a tree. Although she keenly feels the smart, she cannot tell what ails her heart with a sad, oh me. what a foolish sigh. Ah, me, born but to droop and die. Ah, me, yet all the sense of eloquence lies hidden in a maid. Oh, me, yet all the sense of eloquence lies hidden in a maid. Oh, me. Oh, me. Oh, me. Yet all the sense of eloquence lies hidden in a maid. Oh, me.
Mistress Phoebe.
Oh, it's you. Go away. I don't like you.
Haven't you anything to say to me?
Are all your racks, pincers, and thumbscrews ready for work?
Oh. I'm not an assistant tormentor. Just because I like assistant tormenting, we can't all be sorcerers, you know.
Colonel Fairfax is not a sorcerer. He's a man of science and an alchemist and a very handsome young gentleman.
Well, he won't be for long, for he's to be beheaded this evening and at 7:30.
Why, I believe you're jealous of him, poor man. I don't believe I want to hear any more of you or your words.
Carruthers boasts that she loves the Tower of London. What's more, she doesn't hesitate to declare her love for the old prison. Listen.
When our gallant Norman foes made our fairy land their own, and the Saxons from the conqueror were flying, at his bidding it arose in a panoply of stone, a sentinel unliving and undying. It's sensible, I trow, as a sentinel should be, though a queen to save her head should come a-suing. There's a legend on his brow that is eloquent to me, and it tells of a duty done, and duty doing. The screw may twist and the rag may turn, and men may bleed and
Soon they twist and the right may turn. And men may bleed and men may burn. For London town and the scorn and I keep my silent watch and watch.
What ho, what's this? Phoebe and her father, the sergeant. And Phoebe in tears.
Be of good cheer, lass. We may save your colonel yet. We will consider a means of substituting your colonel for your brother, the new yeoman of the guard, whom no one knows but us.
The father, they're bringing him here. Has his hour come?
Soft. The lieutenant approaches. He must not see thee weep.
My old friend, Colonel Fairfax, you bear this bravely, as a brave man should.
Why, sir, it is no light boon to die swiftly and surely.
Is life a boon? If so, it must befall that death, whene'er he call, must call too soon. Though fourscore years he give, yet one would pray to live another moon. What kind of plaint have I, who perish in July, who perish in July? I might have had to die, perchance, in June. I might have had to die, perchance, in June. Is life a thorn? Then count it not a whit. Nay, count it not a whit. Man is well done with it. Soon as he's born, he should all means essay to put the plague away. And I, war-worn, full captured fugitive, my life most gladly give. I might have had to live another morn. I might have had to live. To live at another morn.
And now, Lieutenant, I have a boon to beg. I am here because my kinsman, Sir Clarence Potwhistle, has charged me with sorcery, so that he may succeed to my estate, if I die unmarried. But I shall thwart this cousin of mine.
But how?
By marrying forthwith.
But whom?
Any woman who will marry me for 100 crowns.
Very well, sir. We will see what can be done.
Till then, farewell. Come, good guardsman, take me away.
Now, how to find him a bride at such short notice? Well, the task should be easy.
Oh, my masters. My masters, bear with us. My Elsie and I, her jester, Jack Point.
Let us give them the singing farce of the Merry Man and His Maid.
Aye, the Merry Man and His Maid.
I have a song to sing, oh.
Sing me a song, oh.
It is sung to the moon by a lovelorn loon who fled from the mocking throng, oh. It's a song of the merry men moping mum whose soul was sad and whose glance was glum, who sipped no sup and who craved no crumb as he sighed for the love of a lady. Heidi, heidi, misery me, lackadaisy. He sipped no sup and he craved no crumb as he sighed for the love of a lady.
I have a song to sing, oh.
Sing me your song, oh.
It's a song with a ring of the songs may sing, who love with a love life long, oh. It's a song of a merry maid dearly proud, who loved her lord and who laughed aloud at the moan of the merry man moping mum, whose soul was sad and whose glance was glum, who sipped no sup and who craved no crumb as he sighed for the love of a lady. Lady, lady, misery me, lackadaisy. no sup, and he craved no crumb, and he sighed for the love of a lady.
I have a song to sing, oh.
Sing me a song,
oh. It is sung to the knell of a churchyard bell and a doleful dirge ding-dong, oh. It's a song of the popinjay bravely born who turned up his noble nose with scorn at the humble merry-maid purely proud who loved the Lord and laughed aloud at the moan of the merryman moping mum whose soul was sad and whose glance was glum, who sipped no sup and who craved no crumb as he sighed for the love of a lady. Heidi, heidi, misery me, lackadady. He sipped no sup and he craved no crumb as he sighed for the love of a lady.
I had a song to sing, oh.
Sing me your song, oh.
Song with a sigh and a tear in the eye, for it tells of a right and wrong, oh. It's the song of a merry maid once so gay, who turned on a heel and tripped away from the feet of Popinjay bravely born, who turned up his noble nose with scorn at the humble heart that he did not cry. So she begged on her knees with downcast eyes for the love of a merry man moping mum, whose soul was sad and whose glance was glum, who sipped no sup and who craved no crumb, and he sighed for the love of a lady.
Misery me, lackadaisy, his fate were already signed, no more for years in the love of a lady. Misery me, lackadaisy, his fate were already signed, no more for years in the love of a lady.
Harkee, girl, are ye too married?
Oh, no, sir. Although I am a fool, there is a limit to my folly.
Well then, my lass, wouldst thou earn 100 crowns?
100 crowns?
Listen, a worthy but unhappy gentleman will lose his head in 1 hour on this very spot. Hmm. He hath asked me to find him a wife. Wilt thou be that wife?
For 100 crowns? I consent. It is for Elsie to speak.
How say you, maid, and will you wed a man about to lose his head? For half an hour you'll be a wife, and then the dowry is yours for life. A headless bridegroom, why refuse? If truth the poets tell, most bridegrooms ere they marry lose both head and heart as well.
A strange proposal you reveal, it almost makes my senses reel. Alas, I'm very poor indeed, and such a sum I sorely need. My mother, sir, is life to die, this money life may bring. Bear this in mind, I pray, if I consent to do this thing.
Though, as a general rule of life, I don't allow my promised wife, my lovely bride that is to be, to marry anyone but me. Yet if the fee is promptly paid, and he in well-earned grave, within the hour is duly laid, objection I will waive. Yes, objection I will waive.
Temptation, no temptation, will be, I pray, intended to shun whatever station your fascination splendid, or fall whene'er we view you, head over heels into you, head over heels, head over heels, head over heels into you, head over heels, 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 head over heels,
seems Elsie says yes because they've blindfolded her. A bride who will not see her husband. Well, well, well. And Wilfred, the assistant tormentor, has taken her into the tower.
So you are a jester.
Aye, sir. I have a pretty wit, I warrant you. A pretty, pretty wit. I jibe and joke, and quip and crank, for lowly folk, and men of rank. I ply my craft, and know no fear, but aim my shaft at prince or peer, at peer or prince, at prince or peer. I aim my shaft, and know no fear. I've wisdom from the east and from the west, that's subject to no academic rule. You may find it in the jeering of a jest, or distill it from the folly of a fool. I can teach you with a quip if I've a mind. I can trick you into learning with a laugh. Ha 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 ha! Winnow all my folly, 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 and you'll find a grain or two of truth among the chaff. Oh, winnow all my folly, 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 and you'll find a grain or two of truth among the chaff. I can set the braggart quailing with a quip. The upstart I can wither with a whim. He may wear a merry laugh upon his lip, but his laughter has an echo that is grim. When they're offered to the world in merry guise, unpleasant truths are swallowed with a will. For, ha ha, he who'd make his fellow creatures wise should always gild the philosophic pill. For, he who'd make his fellow creatures wise should always gild the philosophic pill.
Dying man and his confessor alone with a singing girl and the keyhole plugged. My keyhole.
Wilfred, and alone, now to get the keys to Colonel Fairfax's cell from him. Oh, Wilfred, has no reprieve arrived?
None, Phoebe. Thine adored Fairfax is to die.
Wilfred, speak not that way. He is nothing to me. Now thou art clever beyond all telling.
Look out, Wilfred. She is after those keys.
You are a wit, a humorist, a most philosophic commentator.
Uh-oh. She got him.
Master Wilfred, thine anecdotes of the torture chamber are the prettiest hearing.
He's giving her a long look in her eyes while she's slipping the keys to her father.
Were I only your bride.
Aye. Wert thou my bride.
Oh, how I would love thee.
Were I thy bride, then all the world beside were not too wide to hold my wealth of love. Were I thy bride, upon thy breast my loving head would rest as on her nest the tender turtle dove. Were I thy bride, this heart of mine would be one half with thine, and in that shrine our happiness would dwell. Were I thy bride, and all day long our life should be a song, no grief, no wrong should make my heart rebel. Were I thy bride, the silvery flute, the melancholy lute, where night owls hoot to my low whispered coo. Were I thy bride, the skylark's trill were but discordant shrill to the soft thrill of wooing as I woo. Were I thy bride.
Sergeant Merrill is back. He's given the keys to Phoebe, who's put them on Wilfred's belt. The deed is done.
The roses sigh were as a carrion's cry to lullabies, touch as I sing to thee. Were I thy bride, a feather's press were leaden heaviness to my caress. But then, of course, you see, I'm not thy bride.
Colonel Fairfax, the disguise is good. You're a perfect yeoman in my son's uniform.
You run a great risk for me, Sergeant Merrill.
Oh, Sergeant Merrill, is it true? The welcome news we meet is orders. My son, who needs a daring do, an expert on the country too, has come to join the southward borders. If so, we come to meet him, that we may fitly greet him, and welcome his arrival here, and shout and shout and cheer and cheer. Hurrah, hurrah, hurrah.
It's all a waters. Erskine was a lamb, suckled like gunpowder, and weaned on glory. Behold my son, whose hearts are doing arms, have formed a theme of many a song and story. Forgive his aged father's pride, nor cheer his aged father's sympathetic tear.
Not old Leonard Merrill, standard lost in last campaign. Rescue it at deadly peril, bear it safely back again.
Leonard Merrill, bear it safely back again. It's gone up when prisoner taken, and debarred from all escape. Faced with gallant heart unshaken, death in most appalling shape.
Leonard Merrill, bear it safely back again.
I was to be pitied, having but an hour to live. I reluctantly submitted, I had no alternative. Oh, the tales that are narrated of my deeds of daring do have been much exaggerated, very much exaggerated. Scarce a word of them is true. Scarce a word of them is true.
They have looked exaggerated, not at all exaggerated. Could not be exaggerated. Scarce a word of them is true.
Leonard!
I beg your pardon.
Don't you know me? I'm little Phoebe.
Phoebe, is this Phoebe?
What little Phoebe?
Who the deuce may she be?
It can't be Phoebe, surely.
Yes, 'tis Phoebe.
your sister Phoebe, your own little sister.
He speaks the truth, it's Phoebe.
Sister Phoebe, oh, my brother, why, how you've grown, I did not recognize you.
There are three thou mayst hug, thy father and thy brother and myself. Brother, care, thy sister I command. From every dirty snare, thy lovely heart defend. And to achieve this end, O grant, I pray thee soon, O grant thee. Shall not quit thy sight from morn to afternoon, from afternoon to night, from 7 o'clock to 2, from 2 to eventide, from dim twilight to 11 at night, from dim twilight to 11 at night. She shall not quit thy sight
from morn to afternoon, from afternoon to 11 at night. She shall not quit thy sight.
So amiable a groom, so innocent as well, that if I'm left alone, the consequences well, no more the time for tell. So grant, I pray this boon, so grant this boon. I shall not quit thy side from morn to afternoon, from afternoon to night, from 7 o'clock to 2, from 2 to eventide, from dim twilight to 11 at night, from dim twilight to 11 at night. I shall not quit thy side.
I freely grant that boon, and I'll repeat my flight from morn to afternoon, from afternoon to night, from 7 o'clock to 2, from 2 to evening meal, from dim twilight to 11 at night, from dim twilight to 11 at night, the compact I will see.
From morn to afternoon, from afternoon to 11 at night, freely grant that boon.
Oh, great, 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 great,
1,000 marks for the colonel, alive or dead. And the question is, who will claim the reward? And what about Elsie, who was to be widowed in an hour? Did you ever hear of such complications? Well, there's just one man who can lead us through this maze. And that's our conductor, Joseph Stopak. So all together now, follow the leader into Act Two of Gilbert and Sullivan's The Yeoman of the Guard.
Our private buffoon is a light-hearted loon if you listen to popular rumor. From the morn to the night, he's so joyous and bright, and he bubbles with wit and good humor. He's so quaint and so terse, both in prose and in verse, yet though people forgive his transgression, there are one or two rules that all family fools must observe if they love their profession. There are one or two rules, half a dozen maybe, that all family fools of whatever degree must observe if they love their profession. If you wish to succeed as a jester, you'll need to consider each person's auricular. What is all right for B would quite scandalize C, for C is so very particular. And D may be dull, and E's very thick skull is as empty of brains as a ladle. And F is F sharp, and will cry with a carp that he's known your best joke from his cradle. When your humor they flout, you can't let yourself go, and it does put you out when a person says, "Oh, I have known that old joke from my cradle." If your master is surly from getting up early and tempers are short in the morning, an inopportune joke is enough to provoke him to give you at once a month's warning. And if you refrain, he is at you again, for he likes to get value for money. He'll ask then and there, with an insolent stare, if you know that you're paid to be funny. It adds to the task of a merryman's place when your principal asks with a scowl on his face, if you know that you're paid to be funny. Wilfred, thou wouldst be a jester such as I.
Aye.
And now listen. My sweetheart, Elsie, married Colonel Fairfax, but he escaped. And I am the saddest dog in England. But if thou wilt fire an arquebus into the night and swear thou shot the colonel, I will teach thee all my original riddles, all my own original jokes. More than that, I will show you where I got them. Now, what sayest thou?
Thou wouldst have me lie? Why, that's simple enough. And a cheap bargain.
So, the two scalawags are up to tricks, are they? This is a fine business, I must say. But soft. Fairfax, still disguised as a yeoman. Poor fellow. Free from prison and jailed in wedlock.
Free from his fetters grim. Free to depart. Free both in life and limb, in all but heart. Bound to an unknown bride, for good and ill. Ah, is not one so tied, a prisoner still, a prisoner still. Ah, is not one so tied, a prisoner still. Free, yet in fetters held, till his last hour. Gyves that no smith can weld, no rust devour. Although a monarch's hand had set him free, of all the captive band, the saddest he, the saddest he. Of all the captive band, the saddest, the saddest he.
Well, Sergeant Merrill, and how is Elsie Maynard?
Well enough. Thanks to Dame Carruthers' fine nursing. Otherwise, the pox on the old witch. She's after me to marry her.
Well, here she comes after you again.
Sergeant, wait.
It's passing strange. Elsie in her sleep has been muttering, marry one I've never had love for 100 crowns. And then she said, I love him not, and yet I am his wife.
Art thou sure of this?
Aye, and mark my word. It was of Colonel Fairfax that she spoke.
Why should she marry a man who had but an hour to live?
Well, there are those who would marry before a minute, rather than die old maid.
Aye, and I know one of them.
Strange adventure, men and trolling, modest maid and gallant groom.
Gallant, gallant, gallant groom.
While the funeral bell is tolling, 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 bim-a-boom.
Bim-a-boom, bim-a-boom.
Modest maiden will not marry, though but 16 years she carry. She must marry, she must marry, for the altar be a tomb. Tower, 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 tomb. Tower, tomb. Tower, tomb. Though the altar be a tomb. Tower, tower, tower.
So my bride is Elsie. The blindfold covered her face, and I did not know. I shall test her. She thinks I am Leonard Merrill in this costume. Mistress Elsie?
Master Leonard?
Elsie, I have loved thee these 2 days since I have been here.
Master Leonard, thou art jesting. Sir, I am not free. I am a wife.
Thou? A wife? Whose?
Oh, sir, keep my secret. He is Colonel Fairfax, whom I have never seen.
A fig for Fairfax. Fly with me, Elsie.
For shame, Master Lennon. I am wed, even though I do not know my husband. I have a duty, sir. Shame upon thee.
Hark! What was that, sir?
Why, an arquebus fired from the wharf, unless I much mistake.
Strange, and at such an hour. What can it mean?
Like a ghost, his vigil keeping.
Or a specter all appalling.
I beheld a figure creeping.
I should rather call it calling.
He was creeping.
He was crawling.
He was creeping, creeping.
Crawling.
He was creeping.
He was crawling.
He was creeping, creeping. Not a moment's hesitation, I myself upon him flung. With a hurried exclamation to his draperies I hung. And we closed with one another in a rough and tumble smother. Colonel Fairfax, and no other was the man to whom I clung. After mighty tug and tussle,
it resembled more a struggle.
He by dint of stronger muscle,
or by some infernal juggle,
from a clutch it's quickly sliding.
I should rather call it slipping,
with a view no doubt of hiding,
or escaping through the shipping,
with a grasp and with a fit.
I'd describe it as a shiver.
Down he dived into the river, and alas, I cannot swim. Ingenuity is catching with a view making a pleasing arquebus and said be snatching.
I should rather call it seizing.
With an ounce or two of lead, I dispatch him through the head.
With an ounce or two of lead, dispatch him through the head.
I discharge it without blinking. Little time I lost him thinking. Like a stone, I saw him sinking.
I should say a lump of lead.
Like a stone, I saw him sinking.
I should say a lump of lead.
Like a stone, the boy, I said.
Like a heavy lump of lead.
Like a stone, the boy, I said.
Like a heavy lump of lead.
Anyhow, the man is dead. With a stone, a lump of lead.
The river must be dragged, no time be lost. A body must be found at any cost. To this attend without undue delay. So set to work with what dispatch he may.
Yeah.
not, Elsie.
Forget him. Now thou art free to choose again. Behold me. I can jest you, riddle you.
Tush, man. Know you not how to woo a maid?
A man who would woo a fair maid should prentice himself to the trade and study all day in methodical way how to flatter, cajole, and persuade. He should prentice himself at 14 and practice from morning to e'en. And when he's of age, if he will, I'll engage. He may capture the heart of a queen, the heart of a queen.
Purely a matter of skill, which all may attain if they will. But every Jackie must study the knack if he wants to make sure he gills. If he wants to make sure of his gills.
If he's made the best use of his time, his tweet is so carefully lined, that every bird will come down in his word, whatever his plume is or climb. He must learn that the thrill of touch may mean little or nothing or much. It's an instrument rare to be handled with care, and ought to be treated as such. Ought to be treated as such.
It is purely a matter of skill, which all may attain if they will. But every Jackie must study the knack if he wants to make sure of his gill. If he wants to make sure of his gill.
Then the glance may be timid or free. It will vary in mighty degree. From an impudent stare to a look of despair that no maid without pity can see. And the glance of despair is no guide. It may have its ridiculous side. It may draw you a tear or a box on the ear. You can never be sure till you try. Never be sure till you try.
It is purely a matter of skill, which all may attain if they will. But every Jackie must study the knack if he wants to make sure of his gill. If he wants to make sure of his gill. But every Jack must study the knack. But every Jack must study the knack. If he wants to make sure of his gill. Yes, every Jack must study the knack if he wants to make sure.
Hushing all his suing, boldly blushing, bravely coy, bravely coy, boldly blushing.
Oh, the happy days of doing.
Oh, the happy days of doing. Oh, the sighing and the suing. When the wooers and the wooing. Oh, the sweets that never cloy.
When the brother leaves his sister for a noble sister weep. Tears that trickle, tears that blister. Tears but nickel, sister reef. Tears that weep. That blister.
Oh, the doing and undoing.
Oh, the doing and undoing. Oh, the sighing and the suing. When a brother goes a-wooing and a sobbing sister weeps.
When a jester is outwitted, feelings fester, heart is lead. Food for fishes only fitted, jester wishes he was dead. Food for fishes only fitted, jester wishes he was dead.
Oh, the doing and undoing, oh, the sighing and the suing, when the jester is a wooing and he wishes he was dead. Oh, the doing and undoing, oh, the sighing and the suing, when the jester goes a wooing and he wishes he was dead. He wishes he was dead.
Again, Phoebe? Why this time?
Why, thou hast often wept for jealousy, Wilfred.
Thou art jealous? For me?
Not of you, but of the man who is to marry Elsie Maynard.
But he is thy brother.
Nay, he is Colonel Fairfax. Oh, what have I said?
If it were Fairfax.
I have forgotten. Thou hast shot Fairfax. So be content with that, and I will be thy wife.
My beloved.
Even brutes must marry.
Ugh. Hast heard the news? Colonel Fairfax's reprieve was signed 2 days ago, and his cousin Potwhistle held it up. Call the yeoman. Call Elsie. Everyone. This is the joy day, unalloyed. Hold, pretty one.
I bring to thee news, good or ill, it is for thee to say. My husband lives, and he is free, and comes to claim his bride this very day. All thought of Leonard Merrill set aside, thou art my own, I claim thee as my bride.
No one can hold her as she brings thee as his bride.
Thoughtless, cruel, ye know not what ye do. Attend to me and shed a tear or two. For I have a song to sing, oh.
Sing me a song, oh.
It is sung to the moon by a lovelorn moon who fled from the mocking throng, oh. It's a song of the merryman moping mum whose soul was sad and whose glance was glum, who sipped no sup and who craved no crumb as he sighed for the love of a lady. Heidi, heidi, misery me, lackadaisy. He sipped no sup and he craved no crumb as he sighed for the love of a lady.
It is sung with a ring of the songs may sing, who love with a love like long. Oh, it's the song of a merry maid nestling near, who loved her lord, but who dropped a tear at the moan of the merry man moping mum, whose soul was sad and whose glance was glum, who sipped no sup and who craved no crumb as he sighed for the love of a lady. Baby, misery me, like an idiot, and a grave no fun, and decide for the love of a lady.
Gilbert and Sullivan did get us out of that one after all. Only poor Point is left single to sigh for the love of a lady. And so we come to the end of The Yeoman of the Guard, or The Merry Man and His Maid. Our various and sundry yeomen, jesters, noble lovers, fair maidens, and assistant tormentors in and about the Tower of London were played tonight by Florence Ames, Fred Huffsmith, Paul Reed, Celia Brands, Muriel Wilson, Veronica Wiggins, and Hugh Thompson. Sir Arthur Sullivan's music was conducted, of course, by Joseph Stopak.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.